Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. I have a couple of guests with me today from the Wilkes County Health Department, Diane and Jared. And Happy New Year, guys, and thanks for coming to be with me today on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
And I had called. There are several things that I wanted to talk about. Of course, first and foremost, Diane, if you don't mind if we jump right into that, because you're seeing a lot of it on especially the national news. And I know for a while, I'm not too sure right now, but for a while at Wilkes Regional and at Hugh Chatham Memorial, they were having to have you wear a mask when you come into the emergency room because of flu. In fact, I even heard one, now this was a national report, saying that it's almost an epidemic status as far as the flu across the country this year and so many people sick with it and so many hospitals around the country that are full. Where are we with the flu locally, like here in Wilkes and here in North Carolina, Diane?
Well, in North Carolina, it is widespread, and that's one of the things that, you know, we get from the state. The figures that I have available to me right now are the numbers that were reported through the end of December. And at that point in time, we had had 14 deaths in North Carolina from this season's flu. So that's one of the things that we're looking at, you know, how many people do we have that are ultimately dying because of the influenza.
How about the vaccines this year? Did a lot of people get vaccinated from the flu? Can we tell at this point?
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today, Angela, is because, you know, if you think about influenza, what's the first thing that you need to do? And that is get the influenza vaccine. The influenza vaccine, what we're seeing is it has been 88% effective for the people that have gotten the vaccine as far as preventing them from taking flu. So we're encouraging people to still come in, get the influenza vaccine. The state actually gave us the ability right after Thanksgiving to give it free to citizens. So we have it at the health department free. You don't have to have an appointment to get it, and we're encouraging anyone to come in. If you're questioning who can get it, who can't, the big thing is if you've ever had it and had a reaction to it, you know, and a reaction to it doesn't include, oh, I got it and it made me sick.
Right.
You know, it's like if you had a severe allergic reaction to it. The other thing is it is recommended for children from 6 months and up. Now, if they're 9 and under and they've never had a flu vaccine, the first dose is a split dose. They get one dose and then they come back in a month and get the second dose. And then from there on, they can get it, you know, just the one-time dose each year. But it is available for children 6 months and up.
All right. And again, this vaccine is very effective then this year.
It is. We still have a lot of people that are getting the flu, but we don't have the numbers yet for it, other than the fact that, like I said, we know it's been 88% effective for people who have gotten it and keeping them from getting the flu to this point. But it is widespread. But still, the best thing you can do to prevent you from taking the flu is getting the flu vaccine.
Okay. In addition to that, I mean, there are just some other basic things that we need to do this time of year anyway because of cold and flu season. I know I heard one report about how many thousand times a day we touch our face with our hands, which we need not to do, especially this time of year. But talk to us a few things about some preventive measures that we can take in guarding ourselves against cold and flu season.
Okay. Because like I said, first thing is you want the flu vaccine.
If
you should come down with the flu then. First thing we want you to do is to monitor your symptoms, to look to see if you are running a fever. Lots of times people, you know, will say, well, I feel like I have a fever. They need to check their temperature, see if they're running a fever. If they're running a fever, then get in touch with your doctor, because they're still recommending that if you come down with the flu, that you notify your doctor, report your symptoms, and they're going to want to know what your temperature is. So report those symptoms and then see if your doctor wants to treat you, because they are still advocating that you receive a medicine that will help you fight the flu if you should become infected with it. Now, back to how do you keep from getting it if you're out in the community? Because, you know, this time of the year, people are out and, you know, we're attending sporting events, we're in enclosed areas. So you want to make sure that if you're coughing, that you're using Kleenexes, tissues, if you have them. If you don't have them, you want to make sure that you're covering your mouth when you're coughing. And we prefer, what's recommended now, is that you cough into your sleeve, because you're wanting to try to contain anything that you have that you may cough out from getting, you know, spread out into the environment.
Right.
So that's one of the things that we're recommending. The other thing that is a big thing is if you do feel like you're sick, you're running a fever, stay at home. because we want you to stay at home, keep your illness at home, and not be out spreading it to the community.
Now, a few weeks ago, I was diagnosed with the upper respiratory viral thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning, while I was seeing the doctor, it was before, you know, I was scheduled to come to work. And he said, by the way, you are highly contagious. And so when I called John here at the station, I said, okay, I have the upper respiratory viral thing, and they say I'm highly contagious. He said, stay at home. Because we could actually help out everyone else if we would contain our germs at the house.
And that's what we encourage our employers to do. You know, right now I would encourage people in Wilkes County that, you know, have employees that work for them. You know, number one, afford them the opportunity to come to the health department and get the flu vaccine if they hadn't had it already. But then the second thing is encourage them to stay at home if they feel like that they're sick with a fever, you know, might be contagious. Because here again, you've got one sick employee. Do you want one sick employee to come in, give it to five, those five give it to five more? It's just not a smart thing to do as far as containing an illness.
And if you think you're coming down with the flu, you actually need to call the doctor right then, because the sooner that you can get the treatment for the flu, the better, right?
The medication that they're given is recommended that you try to get it in your system within the first 24 hours that you actually, you know, come down with the flu. And then you can take it up to 48 hours, but that's why it's really important, you know, recognizing symptoms. The symptoms of the flu, you usually have a lot of body aches with that, and you will run a fever. And so that's one of the things you need to look for. If you just have an upset stomach, it may not be the flu. So be real specific about what your symptoms are when you're calling in to report it to your doctor.
Okay. And speak to those who may have some apprehensions about getting the flu shot. I've heard that it gives somebody the flu, or I got it one time and I got the flu. Speak to that.
Well, I've always heard that too, Angela, and I always just kind of have to look at it like, well, if you didn't get the flu shot, you may have already been exposed to something before you got the flu shot. You would have been getting sick anyway. It's hard to tell.
Right.
But I've had the flu. I did not get the flu. I'm going to be honest here. I had never gotten the flu shot because I'd never had the flu. When I took the flu one time at Christmas when I had three small children who were unable to run wild in our house because Mama was sick in the bed, I have gotten the flu shot every year after that. And I've never had the flu since. So I'm a firm believer in get your influenza vaccine.
Yeah, the one time that I had the flu, I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. That is just not a good feeling.
Can't lift your head off the pillow.
No. Oh, it was awful. But anyway, okay. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago about the upper respiratory viral thing, because a lot of people that I know, actually I know more people that have had that than have had the flu. Is that kind of up this year? Is this a new thing, or is this just par for the course?
Par for the course. We see it a lot this time of year. Last year, I had just come to work at the health department, and our thing then was, is it upper respiratory, or is it whooping cough or pertussis?
Right.
And, you know, so we were seeing the same number of cases last year then that we are now. It's just something that happens this time of the year. That's why taking measures to try to prevent anything that you have from spreading to others is really important.
And hand washing, how important is that?
Hand washing is the one most important thing that you can do to prevent spread of infection, because you get things on your hands, and if you wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, you're preventing that from spreading to someone else. It's simple sometimes to just get something on your hands and then, you know, have your hands around your nose, your mouth, your eyes, and then you're spreading it to yourself.
Right.
So hand washing is the one most important thing that you can do.
I know that my husband is a pastor, and we have this large bottle of hand sanitizer at the door that we, you know, we use when we come in the door, and then we're shaking hands with people as they're leaving after service. And so we use the hand sanitizer before we shake hands with people, and then after we shake hands with people. It's just a safe thing to do this time of year.
It is. Very smart thing to do.
All right. And I know a lot of folks have talked about the fact, and I did too, because it seemed like this upper respiratory thing has gone on and on and on, and I would feel like I was getting over it, and then it would come back, and I'd feel like I was getting over it, and then it would come back. Is there a better way to handle this, or is that just kind of par for the course too?
It's pretty par for the course, Angela, because, you know, respiratory infections, there are different types, and it just depends on which one you have. And then again, you know, are you getting re-exposed to something else?
Right. All right, so just trying to stay healthy and do preventative things and washing your hands, and definitely get the flu shot. And is there a lag time between the time you get the shot and when it goes into effect?
It is. It takes 2 weeks for you to get immunization from the flu vaccine.
Okay.
So that's one of the reasons why we always try to get people to get it as early as they can, because it does take 2 weeks. And what we see lots of times is people make the decision after flu is in the county to come and get the vaccine. And that may be too late for them, but we still encourage people to come in and get it.
All right. So it's still not too late to get the flu vaccine. It's now free. You can go by the health department and get it. And locally here in Wilkes, are we seeing more flu than upper respiratory, about the same? Or
At the health department, we're seeing about the same. I think a lot of the people are going to the emergency room. If I can speak to, do you go to your doctor's office? Do you go to the emergency room? Because I know I've been seeing some things that, you know, some of the hospitals in the northern part of the United States are even streamlining people so that when they come in, they're not going to the emergency room. If they have flu-like symptoms, they're going to a particular area to be seen. But one of the things that you can consider, not everybody who has the flu needs to go to the emergency room. But you do need to be concerned with, and this is the result of people that, you know, when you look at the flu-related deaths, these people that have flu can go on and develop pneumonia. So you need to be aware of, you know, is this just lingering flu, or, you know, am I really getting short of breath? Am I really having problems breathing? Am I having, you know, pain in my chest area? Or am I getting dehydrated because I've just been weak? And those are the people that need to go to the emergency room for, you know, for x-ray and treatment there.
Okay. All right. Again, we have been talking with Diane, who is with the Wilkes County Health Department, about flu and the upper respiratory viral thing that a lot of folks have been seeing this year. Not too late. Please go by and get your flu shot if you haven't had it already. And if you're sick, stay at home, wash your hands a lot, and just try to stay healthy. Speaking of which, we're going to talk about getting healthier in the new year with Jared as we continue on Focus on the Foothills right after this. And welcome back once again to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. My guest today from the Wilkes County Health Department, Diane and Jared. And we were talking with Diane right before the break about the flu and flu symptoms and flu season and colds and upper respiratory viral infections and all that sort of thing. And it seems like most of us have had one or the other this season. Jared, at first of the year, you hear a lot of folks talking about New Year's resolutions and getting healthy for the new year and committing to losing weight, exercising more, eating healthier, and then most of us tend to make those resolutions and then not follow through by the end of January. We need some advice from you, sir. If we're thinking, okay, I need to exercise, I need to lose some weight, I need to eat healthier, what is step one that we need to do?
The first thing that I would do if I were thinking about wanting to lose weight or exercise is you want to contact your doctor and let them know, you know, I'm wanting to start an exercise regimen, and if there's anything that they can think of or anything that they can, resources they can give you to help you with that. The other thing I think is really important is that you have a partner. You try to partner with somebody in any endeavor that you do. The reasoning being is because it's a lot harder to tell somebody no if you feel like you're responsible to them, if you're trying to do this together. Another thing that people don't seem to think about is if they decide they want to lose weight, and so they go at it really hard the first couple of weeks, they're watching what they're eating, they're exercising, they may have a small hiccup, they may get sick, they may get the flu, and then they stop, and then they don't start back, or they don't start to see the results that they think that they should see within the first few weeks, and they just completely stop. They feel like they failed. And you're going to have minor little setbacks like this, and the thing is just to stay committed, to try to keep on doing what you're doing and continue, because you will see results.
Now, as far as trying to lose weight, in addition to, well, I actually talked with someone from the health department years ago, a dietitian, and she said if you want to try to lose weight, you actually need to do a combination of things, both changing how you eat and doing exercise, not just trying to do one or the other, but let them work in combination. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, that's the best way to lose weight. The CDC recommends that adults get about 30 minutes a day of physical activity, at least 5 days a week. And that 30 minutes doesn't have to be all at once. It can be, you can do 2 15-minute sessions. You can do 3 10-minute sessions, just whatever it is that actually increases your heart rate, so that way you feel like you're actually doing a little bit of something. And then also, too, watching what you eat. It's sort of a balancing act. In order to lose weight, then you need to burn more calories than what you're taking in. And to maintain your weight, then you just keep on doing what you're doing. And then when you gain weight, it's when you're taking in more calories than actually what you're burning.
Well, you can actually go about this really wrong. If you just cut out a whole bunch of stuff, then you're not getting the vitamins and the nutrients that your body needs. And you can actually hurt yourself, too, or not be able to achieve the results you want because you're kind of starving your body, right?
Right, correct. And again, if it's something that you really wanted to make some lifestyle changes and you wanted to change your diet, again, I would talk to my doctor. They may possibly have you talk to a nutritionist. A lot of people think that one thing that they can do is they can skip meals. You can skip breakfast. And essentially what happens when you skip breakfast or you skip a meal is your body sort of goes into this starvation mode and you're not actually burning the calories like you should. Breakfast actually helps jumpstart your metabolism in the morning, so that way it gets it sort of going and works for the day.
Do you need to see maybe call the health department and see a dietitian to find out? I mean, is the best thing to go on a diet plan? Is the best thing just to kind of change the lifestyle of how you eat? What is the? Do they need to contact the health department or their doctor and find out what is the best route for them?
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would contact my doctor, call the health department. We have two excellent nutritionists who could talk to you a little bit about your lifestyle, make some recommendations for you. Also, talk to your doctor. If it's serious that you something that you really want to do, the nutritionist can help you with as far as your food and kind of what you're eating, help you create a food journal so that way you can see what it is that you're consuming. And also, to work with any of the local gyms or the Y to figure out some sort of exercise regimen. And just go from there.
But it's a combination of things, and you actually do need to talk to a professional as opposed to just, before you just jump in whole hog into exercising, you do need to see your doctor and make sure of, as far as health conditions, what is the best type of exercise for you, right?
Right. Yeah, just give them a call. I mean, it was what I'd recommend, and just say, you know, hey, I'm wanting to make some changes in my life, and this is what I plan on doing. Do you have any suggestions?
And again, as far as eating, you can, starving your body to death is not the best way to lose weight.
Right. And the other thing, too, is kind of like, you don't want to go cold turkey. A lot of people, I think it's another thing they try to do is they make these decisions that they're going to lose weight, change the way they eat, and they go from eating candy bars and drinking sodas one day to the next day they decide they're going to cut all that out. And you have cravings for those things.
Right.
And so the best thing to do is to try to taper yourself off of those.
Kind of wean yourself off. Right. We're supposed to go cold turkey.
Right. Right.
Don't want to have food withdrawals here.
Right.
And, Jared, any more advice on getting healthy then and kind of staying on track throughout the year? You mentioned having a partner or a buddy and having someone to encourage you and to kind of answer to keeps you on track.
Right, it does. And if you're having a hard time finding a buddy or somebody to kind of do that with you, if you have a smartphone, there's a plethora of apps out there that you can get that'll help you watch your calories and sort of be your sort of your coach as you go along. They'll send you daily updates or give you motivational things. But again, like I said, the best thing to do is try to find that person that you can partner with, because then that way y'all can have that relationship and then you'll feel like you're responsible to that person. It's a lot harder to tell that person, no, I don't believe I'm going to work out today, than it is for you to tell yourself, yeah, I think I'm just going to sit here on the couch.
And it would be a good idea, too, I think, for both of you to contact the dietitian or the nutritionist at the health department so you can work together on how you're going to change your eating and keep track of what you do eat and that type of thing.
Yeah, correct.
And, of course, doing your exercise program together.
Right.
All right. One other thing, Diane, before we finish up today, we wanted to talk a little bit about immunizations. I know there was a big push earlier this year about getting the Tdap vaccine for a lot of folks. Where do we stand now with that?
Well, we did do quite a number of immunizations. I think we ended up immunizing about 3,000 people in the county with the Tdap vaccination. And because of that, we have not had a confirmed case of pertussis since August.
Wow.
So we're seeing the benefits of it. But we do still have free Tdap vaccination available at the health department.
And who needs to get this shot if they haven't already?
Of course, for adults, it's a one-time booster. And you get the tetanus, which is, you know, like I said, a booster for that. You get the pertussis or whooping cough, and you get the diphtheria all in one shot.
Okay.
And it's recommended for adults. We're encouraging new parents, people that are going to be delivering babies. A lot of the hospitals now are telling people, are telling new mamas, you know, don't let anybody have contact with your baby who has not had the Tdap vaccination. So we're encouraging those people to come in and go ahead and get their vaccination now. And the reason being, the guidelines for that changed October 1 as far as the vaccine that we can get available from the state. We have an abundance of that vaccine right now and can give it free. But with that change in the guidelines, when what we have available now runs out, there's a possibility people coming in after that will have to, you know, pay for it or pay a copay if their insurance requires a copay.
All right. So you can get the Tdap right now for free still at
the
health department.
What we have available, we can give it free. But when we have to order it again from the state, we may not be able to give it free after that.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, if you've just gotten the news that you're expecting a baby and you're the, you know, the mom and the dad needs to come on in and get that Tdap vaccination if he hasn't had it already. For pregnant women, we recommend that we can't give it until they're in the second trimester, and we recommend that they try to wait as far as they can into the pregnancy, because there's some thoughts that if the mom gets the vaccination late in the pregnancy, there may be a chance that some of that immunity may may go to the baby.
Right.
It's not confirmed, but there's some research being done on that. Because the key thing is, we want to make sure that adults are not coming down with pertussis and passing it on to babies, because it can be fatal in babies, and they don't get fully immunized for that until after their first year. They don't get any shots for that until they're 2 months.
Now, speaking of children and immunizations, parents need to make sure that they're up to date on all the immunizations before their children start to school in August, right?
Right. And for the Tdap, that's something that's required for children entering sixth grade as well.
Okay. And is there shots that students need to get before they start college, maybe in the fall?
MMRs or measles, mumps, and rubella is one of the things that, you know, that we look at. Do they need that before they start in the fall? It's not required now, as far as the state's concerned, but some of your colleges do recommend that they get it.
Okay.
Or they want to show that you've got immunity to it before you may have had it. Like, if I were to go back to college now, I've had measles, so, you know, I would have to show that immunity.
And also, there was a case of hepatitis earlier in the year back in May, and some folks came in and did their first round of shots for that in May, and it's time to get the second round.
It is time to get the second round, and we were very fortunate in that the state immunization branch allowed us to get the second dose and give it free as well. And the thing about hepatitis A is it takes that second shot, which is you get 6 months after the first one, for you to get full immunity from, you know, the vaccination.
Right.
So we're encouraging people now, you know, that have not come in so far to get that second shot, to come on in and get it, so they'll get full immunization and they won't have to worry about this anymore.
And again, it is free.
It is free.
So if you came in May and got the first round, you need to come in now and get the second round. And again, it's free. You just stop by the health department, get your shot, and you're done.
We are requesting that you get an appointment for that.
Okay. And they need to call then?
Just call the health department, 651-7450, and ask for an appointment.
All right. Diane and Jerry, thank you so much. And if folks have more information, whether on the hepatitis vaccine or any of the immunizations for Tdap or children, or if they want to talk about any questions they have about the flu or about the upper respiratory viral thing or about getting healthy for the new year, just call the health department?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. And the number there again is
651-7450.
7450. All right. Diane and Jared, Wells County Health Department. Good information day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This has been Focus on the Foothills. Coming up, we'll have a check on that weather forecast.